Let's begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We must be short this week because your pastor before Mass today threatened me if I was not. And so we'll do what he says so I don't have to spend time in the penalty box. We've spent a lot of time going through this particular passage of Scripture. This is very familiar to us as Catholics, seeing the moment when the Incarnation actually happened. The Incarnation happened invisibly to natural eyes in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary on this Feast of the Annunciation, March 25th. When the angel Gabriel came, she accepted, and that's when the Incarnation indeed did occur, in the womb of Our Lady. And so we see that here. The collect of today's Mass is nothing other than the conclusion prayer, which we pray every single day, three times a day, during the Angelus. This passage of the Gospel is what we meditate on during that Angelus address. What happens when we pray the Angelus? The Angelus is this prayer which you probably remember from times in your youth. Sadly, it doesn't occur now. If you pray real hard and find some good donors, maybe we'll find for this upcoming centennial year, which we're about to celebrate, of this parish building, this parish church, which is next year, maybe we'll be able to get a bell to go up in our tower, which we can ring at the times of the Angelus, 6 a.m., noon, and maybe even 6 p.m. or midnight, though unlikely that last one. Those 3 moments are the times where the bells would give a beautiful peal all throughout. And those in the fields, those in their labors, those at home baking bread at home would stop everything it is that they were doing and pause. The whole world would pause at those moments. Why does the whole world pause when those bells ring to pray the Angelus? Do you know? It's because the whole world paused at that moment. The moment when Our Lady was proposed to by the angel Gabriel. The whole world paused at that moment. You see, everything that God created in all his good green universe depended upon that one moment. God set up the entirety of creation focusing just on this one moment. And all of creation, God's entire great work, the whole of the universe, there's nothing more important than this moment. It all depended upon a little girl, just like you, Eulalia. Just like you. It depended on one like you. If you would say yes to God, everything in all of creation would feel its worth. If you'd say, I don't know, let me get back to you on that, all would be lost. And so the whole of the universe stood still in that one moment saying, will she say yes? Think of what was happening within the rest of the celestial realm, all the angels that were gathered all around as Mary was there that one particular day reading the Scriptures. It was the hour of there in the midnight. It was at midnight when she was up at prayer. She was praying a beautiful vigil, not like in the beautiful icons that you see where Mary is visited by Gabriel and it looks like it's the bright light of midday. Midnight is when this occurs. She's making vigil before the Lord, supplicating herself, laying herself out before God and saying, God, I want to search you out even through the night. This is who our Blessed Lady is. And so at this moment, when the angel comes, she's not startled at the fact that the angel is there. She startled rather at his great greeting because she thought very humbly of herself, and nobody had ever seen her real worth before, seen how great she really is, to say, you who are indeed full of grace. And so at this midnight moment, when all the world was dark around, yet Mary kept vigil, studying the word of God, and the angel Gabriel came and proposed to her, you can see as though the angels are leaning into the moment, saying, will she say yes? Will she agree to let God do something great in her? God has made her immaculate. God has preserved her from even the effects of any original sin. God has made her perfectly for himself for this one choice, but yet she has to be free to choose because God is love. And so what will she say? The whole universe there waits with a pregnant pause, both seen and unseen. And then Mary says yes. And when Mary says yes, all of creation is able to go forward. That's why we pause at that noon hour. That's what we pause at that 6 a.m. hour. That's why we pause there at 6 p.m. And if you happen to be up at midnight, it's a good idea to do it too. To pause in that moment, to stop whatever it is that you're doing. And to recall that all of creation depends for its salvation on a little woman saying yes to what God wills to do within her life. Maybe thinking on this a little bit more vividly can help you to understand the value of praying this prayer. What goes on during this prayer of the Angelus? When you and I pray the Angelus prayer, what are we doing? I was once interviewed at after the present pontiff was to arise to his papal throne. There at the Mass at which he would give his acceptance of that throne, and there when he was to give his first Angelus address, I was able to find a way not into the square, for it was too busy at that time. I was studying in Rome then, so I happened to be there. And I found myself up on top of a rooftop where an interviewer from CBS News decided that because I looked priestly enough, that I should be interviewed. And so he asked me, well, what's going on here? Why don't you tell everybody back home what it is that the Pope is about to do? Why is it so special? What is he going to pray? What's this about? I said, well, I don't know if I'm the best person for this, but I'll say whatever you want. And so I began to explain to him what this prayer really is. What is this prayer of the Angelus? When we pray it, we pray three times the Hail Mary. Three times we pass. But each time there's a greeting, a response, a word and a response that goes back and forth, that's exchanged. And what do? We begin by turning to Our Lady and looking at three different degrees of intimacy at what happens here within the scriptures. Three levels of intimacy do we gaze upon. First, we start from the outside. When we say the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and then she conceived by the Holy Spirit. When we pray that prayer, we can see ourselves as though we're at a great distance, far away from the Blessed Virgin Mary, looking and peering at a distance to see what's happening, as though somebody were hiding all the way across to the other side of the garden, or the other side of the room, or peering in from an outdoor place, peering through lattices to see. All they would see would be the angel of the Lord appearing to Mary. And then they would see some sort of effect and know by means of what happened afterwards that it was then that she conceived by the Holy Spirit. But then at the next pass, we're invited to come a little bit closer to see what really happens. What is it that she says to him? We hear actually the words that are spoken in that conversation, where she says, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word." And so we hear that moment of the most important words that were said there, that I am just the simple handmaid of the Lord. Whatever it is that God wants, let that be done. And that is the thing that changed the entirety of the world, those words. And so we meditate on that for a bit, calling upon her assistance. And then we're asked to come closer. Rather than to stand right beside Mary, we're invited to look within Mary, to see really what is happening that no one else can see. Mary invites us to enter into her. When we pray this next part, we say, "And that was the moment where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And the Word became flesh. And it's that moment where it began to dwell, to live among us. And by meditating upon that most intimate place, Mary pulls us deeply inside herself and invites us to share the joy that she had at receiving Christ for the first time, where nobody else in the whole universe knows what's going on, and she carries the author of creation within. The one at whose birth the whole world in sin and error, pining, yearning, longing for a way out of the drear and terrible state of the world, of their own soul, will feel their worth when finally he comes outside. And so those who pray this prayer, who know Mary, who are invited into interior relationship with her and her son, get to be the first to know the joy of the Word becoming flesh, and how that means that he lives among us, and we're invited to live with him in Mary. This is the powerful reality of that prayer, where three times a day we're called to stop and to pause and to listen to what Our Lady says. What could you and I reflect upon as we do so? Not only these great mysteries of the Incarnation themselves, but also to meditate upon the greeting which is given. Greeting which is given, which is the Ave, the Hail. The greeting which she is full of grace. And to share that with you, I'll share with you some words that Cardinal Nguyen Van Thuan, who died in the year 2002, what he has to say. He was a Vietnamese cardinal who was imprisoned for 13 years. And because he was finally released and never allowed to go home, he was made a cardinal of the church so that he would have stability and to be able to teach and encourage the church to pray for those who suffer even a white martyrdom. This is what he reflected upon on this moment. On that word Ave, he says, "Ave, hello." This is a simple salutation. But from the moment the Archangel Gabriel used it, this greeting was sanctified inasmuch as it is associated with the sublime mystery of salvation, inasmuch as it awakened adoration, thanksgiving, and tenderness within Mary. That word, Ave, this should be my salutation, addressed to everyone with Mary's joy. I should say, Ave. This is an announcement of God's grace, of reconciliation, of renewal, and of resurrection. This word, Ave, this is a wish of divine blessing, benediction. Reflecting upon my past, I realized that I was deeply impressed with the story of a holy priest who, for the love of Mary, responded Ave every time someone knocked upon his door. At the last moment of his life, at his request, everyone who gathered around his bed began to sing the Magnificat. That is Mary's prayer, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. How many times a day during his life had he said Ave? How many times in the 70 years that he lived had his lips formed around that particular word? And so Cardinal Bantuan reflects on his own life, saying, from the depths of my love, I want to offer you a crown, Lord, woven out of the most beautiful Aves of my life, to make reparation for that Ave of Judas that served a sign as of his betrayal, as he said, Ave, Rabbi. I also want to make reparation for the Ave of those Roman soldiers spoken in mockery, as they said to him, Ave, Rex Judaeorum, that is, Hail, King of the Jews. When you and I pray these prayers, the simple simplicity of the Hail Mary, to reflect upon that greeting and to see what grace is released every time we call upon the name of Our Lady, every time we pass a moment with her, that the revelation of this mystery kept secret from long ages is manifested for you and I this Christmas in the person of Mary, the Virgin who believes because she has perfect faith, completely unclouded with sin. And so each and every time you and I have an opportunity to reflect upon this mystery, let's ask that we have the grace to pause, to reflect, and to see what our Lord has in store for us, for what he has in store is great and mighty. And he works all his great works through Jesus Christ, his Son, but we see them most beautifully in the work of Our Lady, to whom this season is dedicated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.